Hello and welcome to a podcast from TechComms. My name is Rami Mehmet and I'm the founder of TechComms, an integrated marketing and communications agency primarily focused on the B2B tech market. TechComms was born in a virtual environment and we used to work in as a dispersed team. The recent and unfortunate changes as a result of the pandemic, I'm pleased to say, hasn't really made a huge disruption to our work and lifestyles. As a team, we've worked with many organisations across all sectors, some of which include security, business continuity, video collaboration, and the mobile and telecom space. Our role at TechComms is to help build vendor profiles, develop messages for the market, as well as establish market positioning for our clients. We also build our clients' brand awareness by taking their targeted messages to the wider communities. Although we're based in London, we do operate worldwide. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is the fact that TechComms has a really strong team of highly skilled and professional experts. I've created this episode to introduce to you Lisa Perry, who's a key member of the TechComms team. She manages our key accounts and is vastly experienced within the B2B tech market. So I'm sure you will enjoy taking 20 minutes out of your day today to listen to Lisa discuss the latest trends and challenges being encountered within the industry. Hi, Lisa. It's great to have you as a guest on the podcast today.
Thanks, Rami. It's really great to be here.
So, Lisa, one of the reasons I really wanted you to join the company was not only because you're skilled at what you do, but also because you've got such a strong background in communications and technology. And aside from that, we were fortunate enough to have the opportunity to work together in a client and agency capacity. So I knew when you joined the team, we'll not only get on really well together, do some great work, but we'll also have some fun at what we do. So can I ask you to share a little bit about your experience with our listeners today?
So prior to joining TechComms in 2016, I actually sat on the other side of the fence and worked in-house, which was quite a different experience to working in an agency. I started my career in PR working for Lexmark almost 20 years ago now, and I worked in several roles there, including managing the UK media relations to then actually relocating to Paris and managing the PR for the consumer side of the business, which was a really great experience, obviously to live abroad, but also to provide a solid grounding for me to move on to my next role.
That's amazing. I guess it's not only just a solid grounding, but a great experience to have the opportunity at such a young age to live and work in Paris.
It really was. Yeah, it was a great experience. And actually following that, a couple of years of living in Paris, I actually returned to London and I took on a global head of lifestyle and campaign PR role at Sony Ericsson. And this was a really exciting role for me at the time as it included a lot of travel. I really got to see the world, which was just great. I was charged with managing the PR activation of our sponsorship properties, which at the time included working with Maria Sharapova as a brand ambassador and also the Women's Tennis Association. So hence a lot of travel.
Yeah, I bet there was a lot of travel. I bet it was quite a lot of fun. But you and I know that traveling is not always as glamorous as it seems when you're working in PR. But when you're a lot younger, I think it was definitely one of the perks in moving into a role like PR, because it did come along with a lot of hospitality opportunities. Quite interesting to hear is, what's one of the sort of favourite places you got to visit as part of your role in PR, and whether you've got some funny stories you could share with us?
Well, I'd say one of my favourite places was actually Doha in Qatar. It was absolutely incredible place. But this was obviously going back 13 years now. So it was well and truly before it started getting really built up. The locals were really friendly and accommodating, and they took my group of journalists and me to the local souk. We went trekking in the sand dunes, as well as the opportunity to try lots of different and local cuisines.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing experience. I guess both for you and the journalists, because we know now that whenever there is some travel, there's always quite some strict budget restrictions. But I guess 13 years ago, companies still had quite a lot to spend on trips like this. And it sort of demonstrates how things have also changed.
That is very, very true. Very true. Just answering your previous question about stories, I'll be honest, there were lots. It was incredibly exciting working with the tennis players. One of the things that I really remember is about staging several PR photo stunts to generate publicity at certain tournaments. And this included a photo stunt of Rafael Nadal and Serena Williams playing tennis on water on a rooftop swimming pool in Miami, which was really cool.
That sounds really cool. It sounds like a nice place to be today. If we could get an opportunity to teleport ourselves to a rooftop in Miami, it would be lovely. What I'd like to hear a little bit more about, Lisa, is if you can tell me a little bit more about the role that you played within this particular job.
Yeah, sure. Another big part of my role included managing global consumer PR campaigns for key mobile phone launches. One of the big achievements for myself and the team was that local activation of campaigns in key regions increased from just 7 markets to 37 markets over a period of 2 years. So yeah, we were really pleased with that.
Wow, that's a huge achievement. You know, you and I both know that creating campaigns which align with global strategy, but also need to be regionalized, can be quite challenging. So it must have been a fantastic learning opportunity for you.
Yeah, it really was.
Where did you go next then, Lisa, after this role?
So following this role, I actually had a bit of an epiphany, I suppose, and felt really strongly about doing something completely different. As exciting as the role was, I really wanted to branch out of the private sector. So I took a comms role in a local NHS trust, which was a great experience. One of the things that really sort of stands out for me was the contrast between the private and public sector, which was very stark. And working in this role, I really did learn a lot. I was charged with project managing quite a few campaigns, including a Channel 4 documentary on the birth of the Paralympics National Spinal Injuries Centre.
Wow, that's a huge change from working in the tech space.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was very rewarding, however, to have the opportunity to help tell the story of the National Spinal Injuries Centre and the great work that the team does there. And then, yeah, after a year of working in the health service, I actually moved back into the private sector and worked for Polycom as a senior PR and AR manager in the EMEA communications team. It was really great, I remember at that time, to be back working in B2B tech PR again and to drive thought leadership campaigns throughout the region. But we were a very, very busy team of just 4 of us managing PR for 9 countries in EMEA, also managing the exec relations program, social media program, customer success programs and analyst relations. But Rami, obviously, it was in this role that I first met you and we worked together to build an EMEA AR program, which was a lot of work, which you'll probably remember. But yeah, I also remember we had a lot of fun as well, which was great. But for me, having experienced firsthand the culture of tech comms as in a professional agency, determined, a work smart environment, and importantly, having a very good work-life balance, when an opportunity to join the team came up, I was really quick to make the move.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. That's really good to hear. You know, and we do always try to sort of make sure that, you know, everyone in the team has a good work-life balance. We work smart. We put smart hours in rather than long hours in, and therefore we get to sort of spend more time with our family. But yeah, it does seem like a hell of a long time ago that we worked together at Polycom, because we've done so many projects since, I guess, working together at TechComs. And I just want to take the opportunity, Lisa, just to say that we're really glad you joined. I'm very glad you joined. And I know, you know, the rest of the team and including our clients would really agree with me, because not only do I feel as though you brought some valuable in-house experience to the team, but you're also, you know, a lovely person to work with. So those that are listening haven't had a chance to work with Lisa, they should definitely have that opportunity after listening to this podcast.
Thank you, Rami.
Moving on, during your time at TechComs, has there been any particular campaigns which you've worked on that really stood out for you and why?
Oh, wow, there have been many, to be honest. I'm not really sure where to start. But I guess one of the things I love the most about my job is how different each day is. So one day I can be working on a PR program to support the expansion of LATAM scale-up companies abroad, for example. And then the next I can be working with our copywriter on creating technical white papers. So really every day for me is very different. There are a couple of projects and campaigns, though, that have really stood out for me. So I would say, you know, one of our clients arranges a really large industry event every year in which we host a number of journalists. The planning of the entire event is incredibly intricate, so everything is managed down to a T in the minutest of detail, including planned media relations approach to securing as much coverage as possible around the event, to managing interviews with key spokespeople, and writing all of the comms and the announcement press releases. We were also tasked with arranging speaker training for executives and managing press schedules for the PR agency network. So every activity was completely aligned to the theme of the event, and the results from this event has always been absolutely fantastic.
I have to agree with you, Lisa. It is definitely an event worth flagging. You know, the hard work that everyone in the team put in does really show with the number of press coverage achieved, you know, in the lead up to the event, during the event and after the event. It's also worth noting that everyone also in these types of offsite events do get that opportunity to not only build relationships with their clients, but what we've found is that there have been great opportunities for us to really build relationships with the media, because it can be quite difficult to get media to take a couple of days out and attend an event abroad. So when they do sort of come to these events, you and I both really take up that opportunity, and I'm sure they do, for us to be able to get to know one another and understand what their wants and needs are for future relations.
Definitely. I completely agree with you.
2020 has been a crazy year because of the pandemic. We've seen businesses having to adapt overnight. Some have had to reduce their spending, whereas others we found have increased it. Are you able, Lisa, to share some thoughts on how businesses build trust with their clients and use PR in times of crisis?
Obviously, we're currently in a particularly challenging time. And with this, we're rethinking what it means to be there for the companies that we're fortunate enough to call our partners. None of us obviously have ever done this before, so we have to figure out a new approach, a better way to communicate and help companies navigate an entirely new reality. So the themes that we are seeing that are rising to the top right now are not new, but they do require commitment and courage.
Are you able to just outline a couple of the themes with us, Lisa?
Yeah, sure. So first, it's absolutely essential to create a communication and PR strategy that will resonate and build trust with key audiences, such as employees, customers, clients, investors, suppliers, and of course, the general public. But it's also about keeping it simple and being authentic and getting back to the heart of it. So during times of crisis, it's important to ask what's at the core of what you do. Have you veered from your primary mission, and is it time to change direction? Are your employees more motivated and productive when they know you're focused on helping and contributing to society versus, for example, selling just to make a profit? So we found that customers want to work with and support businesses that have a bigger cause than themselves. So asking these hard questions and taking a good long look at the strategic path you're on is important as you determine how to move forward. So it's really time to use our voices for good and weave in the bigger purpose of what we do into our messaging. And of course, it's not just about pushing out a message. It's about engaging in a meaningful way.
That's absolutely right, Lisa. There's so much more that needs to be thought through, really. Is there anything else you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say another point is about clearly communicating with audiences and saying what you mean and doing what you say. It's essential for building trust. So by stripping away the jargon, the fluff, and getting to what matters quickly, your audience is likely to resonate with you at a faster rate. And I guess as a final note to your question, Rami, the global pandemic has obviously altered the way we work and live with all the new rules and regulations in place. So from the different tiers, the lockdowns, it's an extremely trying time for all of us, and we need extra patience, compassion and empathy with each other. It's really important that we keep perspective about what others may be experiencing, and in our eagerness to get back to normal, whatever that normal might be now, that we don't veer towards being tone deaf to the new realities that we are all facing and adapting to. And we could all give more and importantly take less as we find a new way forward.
So what have you seen personally happen in the industry?
One of the key points, I'll be honest, that stands out for me is that people are more accepting of family and pressures at home. In particular, during the height of the pandemic earlier this year, it was not unusual to participate in a video call with a client while my two children were sat next to me doing their schoolwork. But saying that, rewind back to the beginning of the year, and I wouldn't have imagined this could have been possible, as in working and teaching my children simultaneously. But when given no choice, we all had to step up and I guess do our best juggling act.
That's so true. Everyone did. Clients, you know, journalists, the team members here. And, you know, and I remember how challenging that time was, you know, trying to wake up earlier to work before your children woke up and ensuring that you took regular breaks and they took regular breaks. It was a nightmare, but everyone managed to get through it. We all managed to be able to do it.
Yeah, we did somehow. But on a positive note, colleagues, clients, journalists, suppliers, partners, you name it, absolutely nobody was fazed by the sound of children and pets in the background or interruptions during calls. And I guess we're all in the same boat. I'm hoping this level of understanding and empathy can continue, as while it was and still is a challenging time, relationships and partnerships with key stakeholders have actually never been stronger. And then finally, another point in terms of changes that I've seen is the reliance on digital technology. So at TechComms, obviously, we've always primarily been a virtual team. So we're very used to connecting and collaborating on Zoom, GoToMeeting, Skype, Asana, Google Docs. But it was interesting watching the industry adapt to virtual events and webinars. Our clients have held some fantastic webinars, which have been really well received by their customers and prospects, and often reaching a wider audience than they would have done should it have run as a live event. However, saying that, I personally cannot wait for the day that we can attend live events and see our clients in person.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Lisa. I do think we are quite fortunate in being an agency that's evolved and used a lot of technology to be able to connect. But people still need human contact. So, you know, it would be great for us to maybe not do as many events, but still have the opportunity to meet with clients at events or personally meet them in their offices. But I guess one of the interesting observations that I've had, we've seen so many sort of virtual events going live, is, you know, the fact that virtual events have been able to draw in wider audiences now, because the lack of people contact has meant that people are more open to coming onto a webinar so they can sort of have that connection. Reporters that I've spoken to, some have also been telling me that they do get invited to more events now. And you and I know by, you know, working with clients when they host events, we're always restricted to numbers. There could be budget restrictions or capacity restrictions. So the fact that they can go a bit further out and reach out to a lot more journalists to attend an event means that a lot more reporters are getting more access to information. But it's also, I guess, a blessing and a curse for them, because they then have more to report on and then they have longer working hours to sort of ram it all in.
Yeah, that is very true.
It seems like 2021 is going to be full of disruption, and I guess there's no clear indication as to when things will return back to normal. But what would be a few tips you could share with us for the future? Like, what do you think organisations should do or be thinking about at the moment, Lisa?
So first of all, I agree, next year is going to be full of disruption. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things evolve and whether organisations revert back to full office working and live events, of course, all dependent on the current crisis. I would say the role of brands has shifted since the start of the pandemic. Clients are expecting more than ever from them. Brands that are focused on helping clients feel safe and taken care of, they have the advantage. As always, a helpful and authentic tone is necessary, as I was saying earlier. This isn't about pushing products or services for the sake of selling something. It's about selling real value. So how are you going to give them peace of mind or save them time and money? Does it appeal to what they value, as in convenience, safety and sustainability, for example?
Yeah, these are definitely important questions that companies should be asking themselves. Could you tell us a little bit more about this approach?
Yeah, so value selling takes a completely different approach. It's thoughtful, it's more collaborative, and it requires excellent listening skills. I think it's absolutely essential to take the time to understand your client's challenges and concerns, as it will inform the strategic recommendations you make to support their business objectives and align you on a common mission. However, most importantly, you have to be honest about what you can and can't do to help them. Every relationship matters. So when you lead from a place of how may we help you, you're offering a willingness to invest your time and work together to truly support people and businesses that are going through significant amounts of change and stress. So as a final thought, I would say in times of uncertainty, it's important to be as transparent as possible, communicate more, and provide full visibility into how you'll continue to meet the needs of your customers and your employees.
Thank you, Lisa. You shared some really great ideas with us. So just to wrap up, could you tell our listeners what would be the best way to reach you if they wanted to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. So they would be more than welcome to email me at lperry@techcoms.co.uk. Or please visit our website, www.techcoms.co.uk, for more information.
Thank you, Lisa. If you have a campaign coming up and you'd like to shoot some ideas around with us, do feel free to reach out to Lisa or myself. My email is rmehmet, that's R-M-E-H-M-E-T, at techcoms.co.uk. Or, like Lisa mentioned, you can visit our website, or we also pick up messages via our LinkedIn account. We also regularly post tips, thoughts, and inspiration on our Instagram, so please do give us a follow. And I'd just like to take the opportunity to say thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll get to speak to you soon.